Once upon a time, I worked at Chuck E. Cheese. What? And I was in the rat suit. Oh.
Wait, he's not on you.
I know, I'm sorry. I just ruined that for some of you. Actually, I'm not sorry, because if you believe that there was a giant rat walking around like that, then that's a scary world, so you're welcome. But yeah, I was in the rat suit, and we did birthday parties. And there was always, in the group of these kids, one kid that was way taller than the rest. And that was the kid that...
That's me.
That usually, not in your case, but usually that's the kid that got held back a few years and is a little bit more obnoxious than the rest. And this was the kid that would always grab my hand through the glove and try to feel my finger and then yell out, "He's not real!" And I'm like, oh, way to ruin his birthday party. You genius. Good job. But there was also always really sweet kids that would... grab my hand and say, "I want you to meet my parents. Come here, Chuck." And I'd sit down in the booth where they're sitting there eating pizza, like, "What?" They'd say, "Mom, Dad, this is Chuck." And I would go,
you know. Would you make the faces under the suit?
Yeah, I would.
It helps.
You can make the hand gestures more lively if I did. But as smelly and awful as that rat suit was, it was not as bad as the everyday uniform that I had to wear. It was this really cool little red visor that I had, and these red and green and yellow striped polo with a red collar, and these little tiny red shorts and a tiny red waist apron. Man, I looked awesome. It was so good. And that uniform, no matter how many times I washed it, it always smelled like a mixture between old cheese and B.O. Like, that was an offensive smell and made people not want to be, it just pushed people away. Now, I later got a job working at a bank, and there was a different uniform for that job. It was shirt and tie and dress slacks. So, could you imagine what would happen if I show up at that new job wearing my old uniform? Now, some people might look at me and say, "Hey, that's weird. You don't need to do that anymore. That's not who you are anymore. That doesn't fit with your new title." Or they might go, "Hey, that's, oh, what's that smell?" And be like, "I'm staying away from you because it's so offensive and smelly." Now, here's the point, guys. The old you. You used to have a job, and your boss was sin. And sin was your master, and you did whatever sin told you to do. And the uniform that you wore, the behaviors that you wore, was anything that you wanted, anything that Satan wanted you to do. But when you became a believer, that old you died, and now you have a new job title. It's child of God. And you have a new master. It's Jesus Christ. And your job is to obey Him. And so now, your old clothes are smelly and offensive and push people away. But you don't have to wear that old uniform anymore. You can put on the new uniform. You can put on new behaviors that are consistent with who you are on the inside. You can put on love. And that's what Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 17 is about. Put on love. And because of your new self, the new identity that you have, that Jesus Christ gave you, because of that, there's three things that are true. First of all, you are all one in Christ, united. That's verses 9, 10, and 11. And then he tells us to put on love on the outside. That's verses 12, 13, and 14. And then he says, let Christ rule on the inside, verses 15, 16, and 17. So because of your new self, your new nature that Jesus has given you, we're one in Christ, love on the outside, Christ on the inside. Before we start reading the text, let's pray. Y'all bow with me. Lord Jesus, I just pray that you would open our hearts right now, to hear from you. And I pray whatever has gone on today or this week, that we would push all of that aside and realize right now is a special time. A time that we need to hear from you, our Savior, Lord Jesus. And I pray that you would speak loud and clear to us through the Word. I pray that you would protect us from the temptations of Satan to be distracted by each other or by our own thoughts. That we would be focused on you and hear from you and be changed by you. Show us what it means to put on the new clothes, the new behaviors, to put on the new uniform, to line up with who you have made us to be on the inside. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, somebody read for me. We're going to look first at how you are one in Christ because of the new self. So somebody read verses 9 and 10 loud and proud.
Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self, with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator.
Awesome. Okay, so he starts out saying, do not lie. And remember what he just got done saying last week. We're talking about other old behaviors, right? Where he said, put to death things like sexual immorality and lust. And then he said, get rid of things like anger and lack of self-control. And now he says, now don't lie. So take all of those old behaviors, those old bad habits, and take them off. Why? Because of what's true. Here's the truth. Look at what he says. You have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed. Now notice the contrast. Underline these words, old self and new self. You see the contrast, those opposites, old self and new self. And then underline the word have. Have taken off old self. Have put on new self. Alright, so what tense are those verbs? Have, taken, and have put.
Past.
Those are past tense. That means it is a done deal. The old you inside, who lived for self and lived for law, is dead. Done deal. You have put on the new self. Jesus has given you a new self, a new heart. It's His heart, and it's Him living in you. That's a done deal. So why is it? You might be thinking, Andy, why is it, if it's a done deal, do I still feel temptation? And do I still sin sometimes? Let me tell you why. There's a difference between the self and the clothes that we wear. Let me say it this way. Here's... Oh, man. Good aim. It wasn't going to hit you. You were safe. You were safe. You were safe, I promise. All right. Okay. Whoa. All right, see that, dude? Now, whenever the Bible talks about your true self, or your old self, or new self, or your nature, or man, when it says the old man, or the new man, or the old self, or new nature, old nature, that's talking about inside your heart, your soul, who you are, and who Jesus made you to be. That's His work. That's what He does. When you believe in Jesus, He gives you a new nature. Now, whenever He talks about clothes, He's talking about behaviors or practices or habits. Those are the things that go on the outside. Those are your old, some of your old habits and old practices die hard. And even though inside you're new, we still have to work on getting rid of those old habits and old behaviors. And that work, the work inside, who does this work? Who gives you a new nature? Jesus. Do you do it? No. Jesus does it. Now this is a cooperative effort that we let the Holy Spirit, we yield to the Holy Spirit to change our habits. And we bring our habits and our old lies under submission to the truth, and we bring them to Jesus, and we kill them with truth. So with the Holy Spirit, we change our outside behaviors to match our new true self. So that's why you still feel sin, the temptations to sin sometimes. The reason you still feel that is because even though you're new on the inside, we still have old clothes. Like we talked about last week, like a mummy, or like Lazarus. He came to life, but he's still wearing mummy clothes, and he's got to take off those dead man's clothes, those grave clothes, even though he's alive on the inside. And that's the work that we have to do by the power of the Holy Spirit. And notice it says in verse 10, you've put on the new self, which is being renewed. Being renewed, that's an ongoing process. And what that means is the new self of you inside, Jesus grows bigger and stronger inside of you until it pushes its way out into your external behaviors. And how does that happen? How does that behavior come out? How are we renewed on the inside? Well, it says renewed in what?
Knowledge.
In knowledge. So the more we come to know Jesus, the more you spend time with Jesus, just like your best friend, the more time you spend with them, having late night talks and hanging out, the more you get to know their heart inside and out. And the more you get to know Jesus by spending time in prayer, and how else? How else do you get to know Jesus? Reading your Bible. Spending time in prayer, spending time in the Bible, you get to know Him more. The more you get to know Him, look what happens. It says, in knowledge, in the image of its Creator. You become more and more renewed and transformed into the image of Christ. So, the more that you expose yourself to the Bible, the more that you get to know Jesus and spend time with Him in the Bible and in prayer, the more your internal self is renewed and grows until it pushes out to where not only do you look like Jesus on the inside, but also on the outside. So we're being renewed the more we spend time with Him. It makes me think about what it would be like if I had a dog named Luke. And let's say I like Luke, but every time I walk in the house, I see Luke in there drinking water out of the what?
Toilet.
Out of the toilet. And I'm like, Luke, that is gross. Come on, boy.
Come on.
And it grosses me out. But then a wizard comes to my door one day and says, I'll give you one wish. And I say, here's what I want. I want you to turn my dog into a human being. And he says, okay. And I'm like, sweet. Now instead of playing fetch with Luke, we're playing Xbox and we're hanging out. But then the next day I walk in, and guess where I find Luke? Getting a drink of water. Out of the toilet! And I'm like, Luke, stop drinking water out of the toilet! And he would say to me, why not? And I'd say, because that's not who you are anymore. And by speaking truth to him and repeating to speak truth about who he really is, eventually his internal self is renewed and transformed until it works its way out into his external behaviors also, to where eventually he learns to drink water out of a glass. That's what happens when we're renewed by the Word of God, that it pushes itself not only in our inside, but also in our external behaviors. And look, Paul, look at verse 11. Paul seems to think that being mean or offensive or divisive isn't consistent with your new nature. Because you have a new nature, and he seems to think that when your behaviors are smelly and offensive to other people and they think, I don't want to be around him, he's just selfish and rude and a jerk. He seems to think that those behaviors are not consistent with someone who has Jesus inside. It doesn't line up. Look at what he says. Here, meaning here in Jesus, There is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Okay, when you look at that verse, what do you think Jesus cares about? What does he want to see in us from listening to that verse?
He wants us to love all.
To love all and wants our heart? Yeah, what else? How would you say that, what he wants to see in us as a group?
Be more like him.
Be more like him? Anybody think of a word that starts with a U?
Unity.
Unity. He wants to see unity. He wants to see oneness in us. Because we are one. We are connected in Jesus. We are his body and he is the head. And notice the repetition at the end of verse 11. What word do you see repeated at the end of verse 11?
All.
All. Yeah, so first of all, it says Christ is in, Christ is all. Which means Christ is all that matters. That's the only thing that matters. And that he is in all. He is in every single believer. It doesn't matter where they come from or what they look like on the outside. Do y'all see this list, Jaron? Do you see in verse 11 it says, no Greek or Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free. You've got opposites here. You've got opposites of culture, of religion, of physical attributes, of ethnicity. Every different kind of opposites. And he says, in all of them, they're all indwelled by Jesus. So there should be no division. There is no distinction. That'd be like if we were saying today, it'd be like, there is no band geek or jock. Or what else might you say? There's no, what?
Nerd.
No nerd or...
jerk.
Or jerk. There's no... what else?
Bullies
or mentals? These are new for me. I don't know what y'all are saying. Are they new for y'all too? Didn't hear from y'all. Some of y'all. I wasn't the only one. But it doesn't matter what. Y'all have cliques in your school. You have different groups of people that sit together. And what he's saying is, in Christ, there are to be no divisions. We're one. If you're going to live in line with who you really are on the inside, there's no divisions. You don't get to be jerks to some people, but not the people that are just like you. That's your smelly old uniform. That's the old you. And it's time to take off those behaviors. Y'all should thank me that I forgot I was going to bring my workout shirt that's hanging on the hook outside the door that's been sweating several days and is really stinky. I was going to bring it and give you an example of what a smelly clothes that offend people and push people away is like and how we need to take them off. And some of you, the way you act towards other people offends people and pushes them away. Let me ask you a question. Who are you rude to? Just answer that in your own mind, in your own heart. Who are you rude to? Maybe it's one particular person. Maybe it's a group of people. Maybe it's everybody except one group of people. But who are you rude to? And then ask yourself, is that consistent with the new nature who Jesus has made you to be? He says, but Christ is all and is in all. So, in Jesus we are one. And that's why he tells us, starting in verse 12, to put on love on the outside. Put on this new uniform that's consistent with your new job title, with who you are in Jesus. Somebody read loud and proud verses 12 and 13.
Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you.
All right. So, notice it first says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. You know what that is? That's your new identity. That's your new nature. That's who you are. Your new identity. Look, some of y'all have ID tags like this?
Mm-hmm.
Here's my identity. I'm Logan Vandeveer, okay? Now imagine you have an ID card that says, sinful nature. I live for self and law, and I obey the Prince of Darkness. Okay, and then you get a new ID. This one's taken off, and the Lord gives you a new one when He changes your heart, and it says, Child of God. New nature. The righteousness of Jesus Christ. You have a new identity. Look at what it says. You are God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. That's your new identity. So, because that's who you are on the inside, what are you supposed to do on the outside? Look at what it says. Clothe yourselves. And remember, what's he talking about when he talks about clothes?
Clothes on your body.
Nope. What's he talking about when he says clothes? Huh?
Behaviors.
Behaviors. Your behaviors, your habits, the way you treat people. Clothe yourself with these new behaviors. What are they? Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So, if I realize that my new nature is Jesus Christ and His heart, and that we are one, I'm not going to be rude to people. I'm going to be kind and loving to people. And I'm going to put on these new behaviors. So, here's... What's the first one that I'm putting on? Compassion. Okay? There's one. What's the next one?
Kindness.
Okay. Putting on these new behaviors. What's the next one?
Humility.
Humility. Okay. What's the next one?
Gentleness.
Those sound a lot like Jesus, don't they?
We should button the last one up.
Patience.
And what's this one?
Patience.
Okay, now... Have you ever heard that song? Fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut.
Mm-hmm.
Fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. If you want to be a coconut, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit. Because the fruits are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. You know? What verse does that come from?
Galatians
5, 22 and 23. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you. Those are the fruit that come out of you. That's the kind of behaviors that are supposed to come out. And that list sounds a lot like this list. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. These are the behaviors that come out of a new nature of Jesus Christ inside of you. And now look at that last one, patience. Verse 13 seems to be an explanation of what it really means to be patient with someone. What does that really mean to be patient with someone? Can you think of somebody that requires a lot of patience from you? Can you think of somebody that you have to be really patient with them, or else you're just going to slap them?
Parents.
Like sometimes when y'all talk and mess with each other on the back row, it requires a lot of patience out of me. Because I think the Lord has something to say through His Word. But look at what I have to do. What do I have to do? Bear with each other. When somebody has done you wrong, you have to put up with some stuff. And then what do you hear repeated? Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. What do you hear repeated?
Forgive.
And you're thinking about this person that requires patience in your life, and you think, well, yeah, I'll forgive them as soon as they start being nice to me. Or as soon as they say I'm sorry, that's all. Then I'll be patient with them. Then I'll forgive them. But that's not what it says. It says forgive them in the same way that what?
Christ forgave.
Okay, how did Christ forgive you?
Fully.
What?
Fully.
Fully. How else? How did He forgive you?
Through death.
Through death. How else did He forgive you?
Grace.
He died with Him. Freely. Did we have to earn it? Did we have to start treating Him better? He gave it freely, unconditionally, without restraint. He gave it. And that's the way we're supposed to be with the people that drive us crazy. Show them forgiveness the way that Jesus showed you forgiveness. That means there is no room in the body of Christ for you to hold a grudge. Is there somebody that you hold a grudge against? there's somebody you're having a hard time forgiving, all right, look at what verse 14 says. And over all of these virtues, that means on top, like an overcoat, what are you supposed to do? On top of all these, on top of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, put on what?
Love.
Which binds them all together in perfect unity. So now, I put on this overcoat. I put on love. On top of all these different attributes, I put on love. And now look, my new uniform is complete. Now this is consistent with my new nature. I have love on top of me that lines up with the new nature that I have on the inside. And why does it say, over all these, put on love? Why does it say that love binds them all together in perfect unity? Why do you think he seems to be saying that love is more important? Why do you think that is?
Because without love, you can't.
Love is all of them.
What'd you say?
Without love, you can't like have any of that.
Without love, you can't have any of those. That's right. It's like love is kind of the fountainhead. And I also think of it in terms of like a quarterback in a huddle. You've got all these other attributes, these other virtues, and then you've got the first of all the virtues of love that's kind of like the quarterback that gives order and purpose to all the rest. That's love. And 1 Corinthians 13 says, of all these, love remains. And they asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. Love. Put on love. If you want to look on the outside and treat people in a way that's consistent with the new nature you have, put on love. But how are we going to do that? How am I supposed to put on love? Well, it starts... not on the outside. Starts on the inside. Look at what it says. It's going to say that you let Christ rule on the inside. And somebody read loud and proud verses 15 and 16 and listen to what you hear repeated.
And let the peace of Christ rule in your heart, to which also ye were called in one body. And be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with songs of hymns.
Awesome. What did you hear repeated?
Christ.
Love. Christ? Thankfulness? What else? What about right at the beginning of verses 15 and 16? What did you see repeated?
Peace.
Huh? Let? Yeah. And there's two things that we're supposed to let. What are they?
Peace.
Let the peace of Christ rule. And what's the other one?
The word of Christ.
Let the word of Christ dwell. What do those two things have in common?
Christ.
Let the peace of Christ rule. That means inside of you, if Christ is ruling in you and you're at peace with Him, the peace that you have with Him is supposed to flow out into your peace with others. That we're one. We're united. We're not going to pick people we're going to be rude to. We're united. We have peace in the body of Christ. And we let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. The Word of Christ. And within that, there's two parts. What are the two ways that we let the Word of Christ dwell in us? What are the two things we do? The two verbs there of how we let the Word of Christ dwell in us.
Richly.
Okay, that's one verb that I didn't see. Yes, admonish. But what's right before that? We teach and admonish, and then what? And then sing. Y'all see that? So we teach the word of Christ to each other. That means you don't only preach truth to yourself to say, that's not who I am anymore. I'm dead to that. You also preach Christ and preach truth to each other. When you see your friend who's a girl jumping from one relationship to the next, and they keep looking for satisfaction from a guy that they should be looking for in the one true man, Jesus, then you get to speak truth to them and say, hey, you are dead to that. That's not who you are anymore. And we get to speak truth to each other. And we sing truth to each other. When we come together on Sunday mornings, we're singing truth and we're encouraging unity to each other. As we sing, we're preaching truth to each other. So it's the Word of Christ richly dwelling in us. The bottom line is that we're supposed to submit to and surrender to Jesus in everything. We let Him, whether you say it's His peace or His Word, what's happening is Jesus is ruling inside your heart. Not just living in there, but He's ruling. If somebody rules you, what are they doing?
They're taking control.
They're taking control. And you're giving Him control. That's what's happening here. We have to let Jesus have control. And I love the words let. Because what that means is it doesn't say make the peace of Christ or make the Word of Christ. It just says let. Which means all we have to do is not resist Him. We don't have to make it happen. It's going to happen if we'll just yield to Him. He's going to take control of your heart. Praise the Lord. You don't have to do it on your own. He's going to take control. He's going to rule you if you'll surrender to Him and yield to Him in every single part of your life. That's what verse 17 is about, our last verse. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So notice it says, whatever you do. That means if you're at school, how you treat your friends, your teachers. If you're at home, how you treat your siblings, your parents. When you're alone and nobody but the Lord is watching, whatever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. That means you don't do anything unless it comes from Jesus. And then it gives glory to Jesus. So it's from Jesus and for Jesus in every single area of your life. That we let Him rule in us. So look, if you want Jesus ruling in you, if you want the peace of Christ and the Word of Christ dwelling richly in you, if you want your uniform on the outside, your behavior on the outside to match the person who you are on the inside, it has to start here. Let me show you. What you do is you take a Bible and you tape it to your chest. And then you empty your closet and put it on. No, I'm just kidding. Look at what I got here. You see what I'm doing? I'm putting the Word of Christ on my heart. Okay? This is where it has to begin. If you want your external behaviors to be consistent with who you are on the inside, if you have to have the Word of Christ dwelling in you richly. Do you read your Bible? Other than when it's on the screen and when you come here on Wednesdays. Do you read your Bible? Read your Bible. That's what the true you, your new nature, that's what it wants more than anything else. Is time with Jesus. And the more you spend time with Him in the Word, the more that it's going to show you who you are. It's going to tell you more and more about your new nature. And you go, that's who I am? Wow. And it's going to grow and it's going to overflow into your behaviors. And you'll be putting on those new clothes that are consistent. So now when people look at you, they see how awesome Jesus is. And you do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And He gets glory. And you get satisfaction and joy like you've never had before. Read your Bible. Lord Jesus, I pray that You would help us to believe who we are and who You have made us to be. pray that you would give us a hunger just to spend time with you and to read our Bibles and to believe that that's what we really want. It's true and we know it. Sometimes we don't feel like it. I pray that you would help us to persevere and be faithful, to draw near to you and be changed by you. We don't want to wear those old clothes anymore, that old uniform. We don't want to offend. We want to show people, not our old self. We want to show people you, Jesus. I know my friends here, all they want is for you to come through them. We pray for your help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.